In this episode of Cubs Outlaw Drag Race, David and Gary talk about the third episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 7. They are joined by extra special guests Richie and Vince. The play's the thing this time around is the guys roundtable about this tragedy of a show. The time has come to read the queens and throw back the curtain as COL Drag Race Episode 3 starts now.
RuPaul Drag Race.
Welcome, everybody, to Cubs Out Loud, where we discuss RuPaul's Drag Race Season 7. It is March 19th, 2015, and welcome to Tea Time. It's episode number 3. This is Gary, and with me is...
I'm Damon. Hey, bitches. How you doing?
and I'm super excited. We have joined by us special guests, Rich and Vince.
Rich is, if you're looking at the video, Rich is on the left, Vince is on the right. Not as how Gary pointed out. Gary, what are you doing?
I did that on purpose, right?
It's just going to become the theme with us.
It is. So, before we get into this week's episode, we have some feedback. Funny enough, on Facebook, the very first feedback comment is from Richie. He wanted to make sure, well, you said you all wanted a comment, and then you told us how to pronounce your last name, which I thought was kind of funny.
That's because in the last one, Damon's like, I don't know how to say his last name.
I don't.
Then you got a comment with my last name.
Thank you for that. It's good to know.
Did you do it like for him too?
So. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's on the top.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you can't mess it up.
Correct.
With all that.
And then also our friend Terry of Rob and Terry from Cincinnati. Hey! Terry said, now there's something I can talk about. So I don't know if that means he's soliciting to join us on the show or not.
I'll see him tomorrow, so maybe I can ask him.
Open interview, shirts off, please.
Really? Really?
Well, he's known for his awesome, like, Tummy Tuesday pics.
So. I was just going to say, like, I have pictures on the internet of them already.
It's just one
that more is thing. True. That is true. He does do a good Tummy Tuesday. Sorry.
So, let's get into this week's episode. Again, for those of you that have not listened maybe to a previous two episodes, there is a Wikipedia page that you can pull up and look at, and... Thank you to the Wikipedia little elves that fill all that information out because it keeps us on track with who was high, who was low, who was in the bottom two, who got eliminated, and who was safe.
Yes.
So let's jump right into it. It's episode 3. Quick recap for everybody. The mini challenge was grannies. They had to dress up like old ladies. Mm-hmm. And then Soul Train dancing. And then the big challenge was in teams, and they did Shakespeare, but crazy gay drag queen comedy style. And then the runway was Bearded Beauties. So, first impressions. My first impression is Drag Race this week was a car crash.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my goodness gracious. not happy about the team that did bad.
Yes.
When Rue says, this is the worst in 7 seasons.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen a car crash so much. Yeah. I remember her saying that.
I was mortified. And I'm not even in the cast or on the crew or a special guest or anything. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Definitely a mess and definitely tragic, all caps. That's what I wrote down. I was like, tragic, because it started out bad, and it just went downhill from there. Mm-hmm. Like terribly, terribly bad, and it just kept getting worse. And it's one of those things where you're just like, okay, we're done. Just get off stage. We're done with you. Bye.
Is it one of those things where you get embarrassed for them watching it?
Yes. I was embarrassed for them. I was seriously like sitting there going, and if I were one of the people that was slightly on point, a little bit better, I would have been pissed off because I'd just be like, I got this. Why didn't you? We know why. We'll talk about it later. But like,
yeah.
Like what's going on? Why are we doing this again? So,
yeah, no, I think there are valid reasons to why it happened the way it did. Some people did better than others. I'm waiting to see if they're going to become the bad girls of the show. And I don't mean bad in a good way. I mean, like, everyone's going to be like,
just awful.
You need to go. You need to go. You need to go. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just, I don't want to say they get picked off, but it's kind of like, nope.
And you get an elimination. And you get an elimination. And you get an elimination.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all get to sashay away. Bye, girl!
Sashay away.
Oh, that would have been even bigger drama.
They're going to have, this will be the first season ever more than just a double elimination.
Oh, yikes. There goes Hive. What do you do to them?
Here goes, okay, I'm sorry. You all suck. You're all going home.
We're actually going to hold a recasting.
Oh, could you imagine?
That would be awesome. That's not right.
That would have been something. Like all six of you, or five of you, no, six of you, off the show, and here in the wings, here comes six more queens.
Oh my god!
Yeah. And,
that's some like Big Brother shit. Like, like we're just gonna like you're all gone, and out comes this like team of six drag queens from like who have been secretly in the wings, like are at the hotel, like waiting for the opportunity. Like, I hope I get my chance. I hope I get my chance.
Yeah. I hope all these queens fall so bad so that they pick us.
Yes. Oh.
Well, Rue, on behalf of Cubs Out Loud, I give you permission to steal that idea for season 8. Go right ahead. Yes. Do a half a cast swap out and watch the fucking universe lose its mind.
Shit. They would fucking shit. It would just... I'm sitting here like thinking about it, and I'm thinking about how the episode would go, and I think the way it would go is similar to when they had them like in teams of seven each the first last season where they had two teams of seven, and the girls lead the runway and they go to the workroom, and there are six other queens like, ah.
Oh my god.
Oh.
Speaking of craziness. Damon, what are your first impressions for this episode?
Okay. I get very specific, and the episode starts obviously with after they've eliminated one of the queens, and Jasmine was out to like murder some of these girls. She was bordering on I'm gonna like cut a heel or slap her, like she just like, I just want these girls gone, I want them out of here, I want them gone. And I'm like going, do you realize it's a competition, right? And you kind of have to work your way up to the top, right, to win it all. You can't just be all like that, all flashy and fabulous and think you're all that shit and then think you're just going to get there like automatically. And as we'll discuss later, yeah, we've got some issues with her.
Yes, I agree with you that she had a bad attitude.
Yeah.
And there's a reason they put that cut in. Like, mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, that's all right, girl, you got to speak your piece, but Not sure this is the way you want to be remembered. So, yeah.
And it's like you said, though, they've done it in the past where some of the queens have said that, you know, some of the girls were like, I said that, but I didn't say it in that context.
Mm-hmm.
Saying multiple times, but it doesn't matter. You said what you said.
Roxy.
Regardless of what the context was you were trying to get out, you still said those words.
Yeah. Right. Yep, and just, oh, be careful, little mouths, what you say, is what my mom was saying. Yeah. Like, and I hope she realizes soon that there are, that you're only going to go so far with that kind of attitude.
Correct, yeah.
And yeah, I know you're 37 years old or however old you are or whatever, but you're only going to get so far.
Right.
You're not at the top of the food chain yet. Mm. No. Nope.
So, Red Fans, what did you guys, did you have any first impressions about the episode?
You go. You first. Here we go again with this whole chivalry crap. First impressions, you know, I've seen a handful of episodes, but there was just something about that crash and burn at the, you know, recital of the play. Something about that, I've never seen something fall apart and become so emotional. I have to agree with Gary. I mean, not by default, just because it was, you know, one of the highlights of this, but Gary's got a point. When Rue calls you out and says, holy hell, you know, you dropped the ball, I was waiting for one of them to just throw their hands up in the air and say, I'm done, I'm walking off stage, bye.
Yeah.
It got that bad. And I literally couldn't watch because I was so embarrassed for them. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
I actually paused my DVR like it's 3 times.
What happened? You know, I mean, I understand that we don't know the whole thing, but what happened that you weren't able to do what you've done in the past episodes and recite and get your shit together? I mean, the you know, episode 2 with the whole, with the,
Amazonian Airways thing.
Amazonian Airways, right. Thank you. That too, they were having an issue, but they still pulled the shit together, and I was impressed. But what about reciting lines? What happened backstage that we didn't know that they were also unfocused? That's what I want to know.
You have a point. Although I think that was actually sort of explained.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, in the Untucked, and in the end of the very actual episode. Which was sort of like Untucked. It was behind the scenes when they talked. I think a little bit of that kind of came together.
And that's where I missed it.
But maybe. I mean, it's hard to say. I think some people feel satisfied that they understand what happened.
Yeah.
And maybe not other people. I don't know.
But, you know, as far as Jasmine, I mean, that's just going to be a topic to bring up later.
Yeah. We'll talk about her later.
That is its own topic.
Yeah. We have some. I have some things to say to her.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Are we?
I think the episode kind of started out as a crash and burn. Because they had the old, oh, you got to do a Soul Train. And then, like, two of them just kind of walked down and didn't do anything. And the one walked down, fell, got back up, and left. I'm like, that's not doing Soul Train. I mean, it's like, well, you're a precursor for how the episode's going to go.
I will admit that I enjoyed the Granny Soul Train challenge. I like that they had to think outside the box. And not only that, they had to not be pretty, quote unquote. They had to get down with their funky old selves, as it were. Right. And it for some, it allowed them to break out of their usual character and routine and allowed them to be interesting. I'll use that word. Miss Fame is one of those that I was actually a little bit impressed with, because she allowed herself to not be pretty and actually look like she was having a good time. She wasn't so stiff. She actually kind of enjoyed herself. You know, it looked like she was having fun and actually didn't look as polished, which was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I like the challenge, but there was a few that I saw, it's like, you're not even trying.
Yeah, true. There were some that were like, get down, get old. It's It's meant to be funny. It's meant to be stupid. Have fun with it. This is, even if you don't think you're going to win, have some fucking fun with it. Because that's what will, like, people will go, oh, that was cute. That was funny. Haha, I got you. I saw that. And are if not, then you, like you said, Rich, they actually look worse when they do nothing.
Yeah.
And I just realized that balance exists in the show. Mini challenges are meant to be silly and comedic and funny for the most part. They're meant to make you laugh at yourself, at your other competitors. But at the same time, because then it flips and then it gets serious, because now we're talking about what's going to send you home. And that's whatever the main challenge is. I think the mini challenge is a piece of Rue's greater picture on who ultimately gets the crown. But I think per episode, it's a, how do we pick team leaders? How do we pick who rises to the top and who doesn't, you know, and right. those little things. So yeah, I agree with you. I think that just go with it and have fun.
It kind of lets you, it gets you the opportunity to be outside the box.
Yeah.
So you'll see you next Tuesday, if you will, for lack of a better.
Yeah, no, and I think that's exactly what I'm glad that Damon brought up about Fame, because I was the first thing I noticed.
Yeah.
She like fell down on the ground and like didn't just like, I mean she didn't go all out like Kennedy and Jaden. Oh my. They know what Soul Train is. Like they got it. They were like, I'm going to get funky, and I'm going to get down. And I'm like, oh, well, you go, girl.
So, the only thing that was missing on a fall would have been a life alert button. And I think.
Well, okay. So that being said, I do want to bring up the one thing.
The best line of the entire episode. Where'd you get a loaf of bread?
Yes. I do have to say, I thought that was awesome when RuPaul, when they do the record scratch. And I don't think it was said at the moment they showed it, but it was said at some point, because the way Rue's face was looking, I think they were still in the lineup before they did the Soul Train, because she said, "Where'd you get a loaf of bread?" Yes,
I wrote that down because I was like, "Where did you? What the?"
And then if you see Pandora Box does a recap of the show,
I haven't seen it. I should watch those.
Yeah, she's been doing them again this season. It's called Drag Center. And she does a recap from her perspective about the show. And even she brings up, she says, now I heard a girl's like trying to smuggle a cell phone on the set. But a loaf of bread, like, I mean, it was funny.
I was actually going to make a cheeky Willem joke, but I didn't think that was appropriate.
What? Willem wouldn't hold back.
Willem would have brought the goddamn loaf of bread and the bologna.
All right.
Girl, don't hold back.
Yeah, but that's just probably too ghetto for her. So, you know. No.
Okay.
Mayonnaise. So let's move on to thoughts on the episode. I say basically it's the six P's. Proper preparation prevents piss poor performance. And that's what the main challenge came down to.
Yes.
One team practiced and knew their lines about 85 to 90%. Mm-hmm. The other team, I don't even think they hit 50%.
Nope.
And that all comes out big time in the Untucked episode later.
Yeah.
And I just think that's really what it comes down to. And I think it shows people you gotta have your shit together to some degree. You don't have to be perfect, but Lord knows it's not good. My favorite part of the makeup challenge was when Rue turns to Michelle and says, "What's going on?" And Michelle's like, "No," like they were so lost watching what was happening because it was not following script. Like it was so bad.
Yeah.
Rue and Michelle can't even direct it. Like they don't even know what's happening. I was like, "Oh, God, not good."
I like the take on the classic Shakespeare stories, as the Shakespearean myself, actor, theater person, theater cub, obviously. They were nothing like the actual plays. They just took those names and changed them around, kind of. The Romy and Juliet was sort of like the show, sort of like the play.
Yeah,
the mech bitch one.
No, with the cheerleading.
No.
Yeah.
The only thing that was resembled was that someone got poisoned and there were two, not three witches.
Yeah.
That was it. And I was like, all right, it's a bit of a stretch, but whatever. It's fucking men in dresses with makeup on a stage. Come on.
True. But it was, I agree with Gary in regards to my thoughts on this episode. More than anything, if you disagree with how your team captain has decided to do things, then you let them know, or you don't let them know, and you do the best goddamn thing you can do. You put it out there, you learn your lines, you get everything down, you're the one that's on point, so that when they look at you, when the judges look at you, you can go, well, I did what my captain told me to do, and I was flawless. I don't know why the rest of these bitches were terrible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I see what you mean.
If your captain said, oh, we're going to go all do our own little thing, go work on your lines by yourself. Okay. I don't think that's a good idea, but I'm going to work on my lines, and I'm going to know this inside and out, so that when I get on that stage, you can't clock me for not knowing my lines, not knowing where I am. Now, granted, if you were a good actor, which I don't think any of the queens kind of could say that for say, you would be able to potentially jump in as you needed to kind of bring one of the, a stage thing is to help other people.
Yeah.
You can bring the story back and try to find the line. So like if someone gets lost and are going off into the stratosphere on a tangent, you can either keep talking and try to get them back, or you find the line that will allow them to jump back in to where, so that the script can keep going.
Right. Don't let the whole group crash and burn, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. The way that their challenge, their set went, without someone really truly rising to the challenge and really doing what they needed to do, there was no saving that.
Right. Because it's a domino effect. It's like one after the other, after the other, after the other, and then it's just everyone together.
Well, and Michelle called that out. Like, she called out Pearl for her performance.
Yeah.
And Pearl was like, what was the domino effect? Michelle's like, and you were first.
Yeah. Boom.
Right, like, it was your responsibility to bring it, and you didn't. Like, so you can say it was a domino effect and it got worse as time got by, but that doesn't excuse you for going first and sucking. Mm-hmm.
You're the first one with the greatest responsibility.
Yeah.
You're the responsible one.
Yeah, you're the first impression for the entire thing.
Yeah.
Everyone follows.
Yeah.
You set the tone for how the rest of it's going to be.
Yeah.
If there's no energy to follow, then everyone's just going to keep, you know, de-escalating down the steps.
Yeah. It tumbled down.
Yeah.
It was so, and I was, like I said, I did pause it twice because I was sitting there looking and I just go, no, I have to stop this. The actor theater person in me was screaming like, if you don't know your lines, okay, you come up with something. You make something up. You pull some shit out of your ass and you just keep talking until, like, oh, and there's the line, and now I know what I'm saying. And then, oh, okay, where do we go? You know, and if this had been live theater.
Oh, jeez.
No.
Well, and to be fair, though, Damon, we've done theater. We would, the show would not go on.
No.
You can't pull it together and rehearse, and you can't pull it together for dress rehearsal, and you can't pull it together for open, like, you know, for, I completely went out of my head. I'm losing my theater cred. The night before opening.
Quick, vamp.
No, there's a terminology for the night before. Damn it. Anyways, there's a terminology.
Dress rehearsal?
Yeah, but it's where you allow, like, friends and family to come in, kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, preview night?
Yeah, it can be called preview night. Around here, I think we call it something else. I can't remember what it's called. But anyways, it's the night that is your absolute last final performance before you actually go like on opening night live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pseudo, basically a mock audience.
It's a full run.
Yeah.
And usually you allow like friends and family to come in, mm-hmm. or you know, not necessarily theater critics, but you know, just like right. individuals, that kind of stuff.
You keep it closed just to make sure you got your shit.
Right. Yeah. And those when I used to videotape productions for their reference library, that was usually the night that I was allowed to come in, so I could get all the blocking and I could figure out, okay, this is the way the lights are going to come up, this thing goes over here. So when I came back during the production to film, I already knew what was about to happen.
Yeah.
So so that kind of that open dress thing. But so what did you guys think of the episode? And besides, I said the six P's, Damon agrees, so I don't know if you guys
in my opinion, I think it just opens up the door to the theme that we're going to end up following in the next episode. I don't know if it's going to bring the girls together or if it's going to, you know, really, like, bring them apart. But this, I think, was the fork in the road to decide where shit's about to go. Mm. You've got the goods, you got the bads. You got the we're talented, we're not. And then I feel like that's going to be cause a segregation between the two groups, and they're going to click.
Mm.
I understand the challenges cause everybody to intermix, right. and they try to prevent that. That doesn't change, because at that point when, I mean, we've already had two group challenges so mm-hmm. far where there was talents versus not. I mean, the one time when help me out here, Gary. The girl from Florida that you went to.
Ginger.
Oh, Ginger Minj. Yeah, Ginger. When Ginger Minj was like,
Aryan
Airways. I'm like, and so it became the talented versus the not, the pretties versus the uglies. I don't know what you want to call it, but it's already starting.
Mm.
I think this is going to be the definitive episode that starts that.
Well, to tie on to that, Damon, was this the episode that Ginger revealed the secret name for the older queens?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Please tell me you wrote it down.
I did.
Because do you know what I'm talking about? There's a moment where they're getting ready for the main stage, and they're all lined up in front of the mirrors with the lights in front of them, and they're all putting their makeup on. And notably, I think it's Ginger Minj, Kasha Davis, Kennedy,
yeah.
Jasmine Masters, maybe Trixie. I'm trying to think of who else. Let me look at the doc. Because the interesting thing to me was when she makes the comment, maybe Katya and Max. Like there was definitively a old versus young kind of thing.
Yeah,
and her comment was really about how they, as the older ones,
yes.
ain't got time for the younger ones. Because the younger ones, like the one comment that Jasmine actually makes is about, like, who the fuck gives a shit about aesthetic? Like
yeah.
you need yeah. to know who you are and right. go through the trenches, basically. Kind of a thing.
That yeah. is another thing about this season, and it started right at the beginning between
Candy
and
Tempest.
Tempest, the whole how old are you?
I think age is a bit of it, though, but like part of the thing about Rue snapping during the main stage when the team that had to stay behind
mm-hmm.
and she was listening to everything that they were saying and then she kind of loses it.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I don't think it was in that show. It might have been in a recap show or something that I watched where basically the essence was Rue had enough. Like had enough of the entitlement kind of thing
yeah.
that was
mm-hmm.
energy
oh
that was crossplaying. Well, I made it here, and I'm one of the Rue girls, and I'm part of the show, and blah, 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 and that's good enough. And that's why I think she kind of snapped and said some things that she did, which yeah, we'll get yeah. to. But,
so it was, they were called the Bitter Old Queen Brigade.
Bitter yes. Old Queen Brigade.
Yay!
Yeah. So, and I hope that that's not the case, because no offense, there are more the younger queens than there are the older queens. Just putting it out there.
So. That is true. By numbers, there are more younger people than there are older people as contestants. But at the same time, Damon, I'm kind of hoping it's like Heather's in a season with
Raja
and Delta Work yeah. and Carmen Carrera and
Manila Luzon.
Where they just created a little friendship and everyone called it a clique and they got read for it. And But then they, you know what, they turned it out. Like they've been friends ever since, and they sometimes get together and do little things as the Heathers, and sometimes they do Instagram photos and posts about being a Heather. And I think what people at the time during that season took away incorrectly was that they were ignorant bitches. Mm. That wasn't their point. Their point was there were Heathers and there were boogers. Like there are the pretty ones who have their shit together and there are those that don't. And they're allowed to have that opinion. And what I think people sometimes fight about is they don't like a non-kumbaya, we're all in this together kind of environment. And I'm like, that's shit. Like, you know, right. Well, we're in episode three, and friends of mine were commenting on Facebook this week, and I was kind of sad to read that a lot of them don't like this season, and they're bored.
Yeah.
Like, this season's boring, and blah, 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 blah. And I took away from that as, there's no drama, I'm not interested.
Yes. Yeah.
And I thought,
I agree with you there.
That's shitty, because this is truly about the art of drag, not about telenovela, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, wig snatching. Like yeah. I'm sure it might come, but so far, as Damon and I have talked about, it's kind of been a bit of Lake Placid. They're all been very like congenial for the most. Well,
up until this episode. Up until this episode, it has been very just sort of calm and not necessarily kumbaya kind of thing. But there have been little flashes of drama.
Yeah.
But this is one of the first time. This is the one of the first episodes where we had what I would consider a fight, like two people butting heads and intent, like. With the I don't agree with you kind of thing. It was definitely this is the first episode where that's kind of like, some wigs are about to get thrown or someone's going to get their head pulled out. You know, it was one of those first kind of real episodes. And it started in the beginning of the episode with Jasmine, mm-hmm. kind of simmered down. You got the little bit with the Bitter Old Queen Brigade. I don't know if the other girls were hearing them as they were talking about things. If I were one of the young queens and I had heard that shit, I would have been livid. And then it kind of boiled over into the Untucked with the, So it's, I agree with you, Vince, that this is going to be the episode where after this, we're going to start seeing that potential divide. I see that happening. What the divide will be, I think it'll, like you said, I think it'll be those, now three girls. if you haven't seen the episode yet, spoiler alert.
spoiler alert, somebody went home.
Yeah.
Whoa, what? I did not know that.
Those girls, that Bitter Old Queen Brigade and potentially a few of the new queens. I see some of them sort of quietly, which is a good thing, they are quietly banding together in a little sisterhood kind of thing.
I totally would agree with you. I definitely think there's a sisterhood of the Traveling Pants show going on, and that was in the Untucked, which we'll get to in a moment. I think that's what was revealed.
Thank God it's not the sisterhood of the Traveling Snatch.
Yeah, well...
Well, it might be.
Oh, my.
Yeah, we have yet to figure that out. So what else did you guys think about the episode in general?
I agree, and I'm going to go off that a little bit about the divide has definitely started. And, I mean, as much as I want to like Pearl, the fact they tell her every episode, you have no energy. She's like, who is it? No, you don't.
Give that girl some Ritalin. Someone, please. I don't know. Or like, you know, slip some Splenda in her water. Something, please, anyone?
Yeah, I think her and Violet are going to end up banding together. Mm-hmm. Because they're the most, they clash with everyone. No matter what it is, Violet's full of herself, and Pearl has no energy.
I don't hate Violet, Pearl.
I don't hate Pearl.
I don't hate them both, honest to God. I feel they're different.
Okay, so I'm going to jump on the Pearl thing for a moment. I couldn't remember if it was going to be a later comment, and I don't think it is for me. I have one pet peeve about Pearl.
Okay,
so she does main stage challenge, Bearded Beauties. I liked her look. I thought she knocked it out of the park.
Yes.
I thought that she practically could have like won that challenge, and the thing for me is that she's being given feedback. And the very last second of the video, when you watch the show,
yes,
like, to me, was just like taking a hot poker skewer and just, oh, because her look on her face. Damon, do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm trying to remember the episode.
Rue gives the feedback. Okay, spoiler alert, Pearl is safe. And when she says about waking up, this is your wake-up call, then the very last second, Pearl has this like little snippet of an eye roll.
Yes.
And it pissed me off.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like, get off my back, bitch. This is all I have to hear. And I thought, fucking Clue. Like, if everyone keeps saying this shit to you, maybe you should do something about it.
God, Rue so got it on, hit it on the head with her. I agree with you. I don't dislike Pearl.
Right.
I just think she needs something like Ritalin, some electricity, something to like, because she just, I like that she called it, Rue called it, she was sleepwalking through the challenge, because it literally looks like every challenge she gets, she just like,
yeah.
If I didn't know any better, I'd say she's high.
Oh,
I wasn't going
to
pull that.
What? Out. I don't know what else to say. She does. She looks like she's high. She looks like she's fucking stoned. Her eyes are like slits, and she's kind of like, Like, there was the littlest of, and I was like, and I thought, if I'd been rude, I would have called her out right then and there, and I'd be like, oh, no, you don't, Missy. You do not diss me after I just gave you criticism on the main stage. Like, you don't get away with that. But yeah. I don't know if Rue saw it or not, but the camera caught it, and I was like, oh,
I don't know if after that episode, if Rue had the energy to put up with any more shit. Rue may have been the one to snatch a wig. I'm just saying.
True.
Yeah, I oh my God, I think if there was some person who I feel will be the next person to go, it's Pearl.
Yeah.
I feel that way. Like, there, she needs to either step her pussy up, as it were, or she needs to go, because all I get from her is nothing. I get, you know how to put on a nice, you know, wig and dress, and your makeup's pretty good, and this, that, and the other. But honestly, I feel like you're half there. Like, you're still in a dream, and you're just sort of walking around, and nothing that comes out of her mouth is particularly entertaining or funny. Like, she, like, the, her, and I felt bad for her, and because of the whole, I'll mention it later, but the lack of education on the Shakespeare kind of thing just kind of was like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, so she overall for me is like a walking zombie. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm dedicated. And like, and that's the part for me is like, what are you on a downer? Like, are you prescribed something? Like, are you really ADHD and we don't know it because like you're taking 1,000 milligrams instead of 10? Like, what the hell's going on, girl?
I wonder.
To get on stage. I know I'm pretty, but I can't
do action.
Yeah,
my concern is that's I would love it to be that. My concern is that is not the case. And my concern is actually, for lack of a better way to say it, she's vapid. She just doesn't have a lot going on. And when the season's done, she's going to be one of the ones that people go, who?
Oh, yeah.
Pearl who?
Yeah.
Which, and I feel bad because, you know, now we're in the 7th season and we're quickly approaching 100 queens.
Oh, yeah.
So it gets harder and harder as the years go by to remember who the family is.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, the RuPaul Drag Race and who stands out and who doesn't. And mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I think is sad is that, you know, like some names come up every once in a while. People are like, wait, who? You know, and so you have to kind of remember who the individuals are. What they stood for, what they, and if they're not memorable, then that becomes worse over time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because people are like, I don't remember who you talking about.
That's pretty obvious. I hate to admit it, but if you were to ask me, I probably would only be able to vaguely remember top threes from previous seasons if I didn't watch the episodes again. I hate to admit to be that demographic, but that's the thing about the human brain. If it's not significant and if it's not important and if it didn't stand out, your brain will kick it out.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, and I agree, and that's why I think the top, I think probably the top six.
Okay, yeah.
Out of every season, are probably remembered pretty decently well because how long they lasted,
right?
And also they have a tendency to be on the cusp of whatever's going on.
Yeah.
So like, I'll segue a little bit into this. It's not really in the lineup of, but Katya has a YouTube channel and has already released, I think, like 8 episodes. She does 2 for every episode. She talks about her look of what she did, or does this weird, like, artistic video about the look that she made for the episode for the main stage. And then she does another one where I think it's called Katya Regrets. And it's funny because Katya talks about what she doesn't like that happened in the episode. Like, she owns her faults. So even if she doesn't get far, she's ahead of the game already. She got a YouTube channel. She's painted up. Like, she's got all the stuff going. And I'm like, and I'm following her. I'm like, good for you. Like, then that's the part where I'm going, hello, there were 14 of you bitches. Yeah. And you seem to be the only one so far that, like, bothered to do anything. So now I'm wondering, I'm like, I pray that you're not the winner only because that's a giveaway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That you knew that you made it to top three. So you're like, I'm putting my face out there. I'm going to do everything I can to brand myself and whatever. And I don't have a problem with that, but I'm like, where are the rest of you bitches?
Yeah.
So
I love Katya. I don't think she's gonna be in top three.
That is my concern. She owned in her own video about what happened in the Glamazonian Airways, like when she screwed up the lip sync. Yeah, she owned. She said, "I blanked. Like, I literally could not remember." And it does. It happens. Like, you just kind of like forget. And so, but the interesting thing is, you know, she had, you know, the high and the low kind of thing from that. And so, I don't know, she's quirky, she's fun, she's definitely different. I think Max is better than her.
Yes.
But, I don't know, who knows? We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, yeah.
I want her to stick around. There's some others that got to go. Any other thoughts about the episode?
Which is?
All right, well, let's get ready for our next segment on our thoughts on Untucked.
Uptown, downtown, turn the beat around town. Hip hopping, beep bopping, New York, New York, New York City beat.
Uh huh.
Damon, I love the fact that every time I play that, you do a little Vogue.
It just works. It works. It's perfect.
All right, so thoughts on Untucked. It's really simple. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I want more, more, more. You can't have it.
Sorry.
No, honestly, this is the best of 7 seasons.
Yes.
I am like, there is crack in the dip, and I can't chip and eat that shit.
Oh, Archer reference. Oh my God!
You are Pam.
I am Pam.
You are Pam.
And I'm gonna eat the shit out of this cocaine.
Cocaine pudding.
Hashtag cocaine pudding.
Yeah.
Okay. Damon, have you watched Archer at all?
No.
And all you need to Google is cocaine pudding, and you're gonna eat. A whole new world will open up.
So for our audience out there, Archer is an irreverent, inappropriate adult cartoon that's on FX, and Aisha Tyler's in it, John Benjamin's in it, Pam Grier. There's an amazing cast. They're funny as hell, and it's about a spy agency that does everything wrong and in the most inappropriate ways. The head of HR sexually harasses everybody. I mean, it's all...
And has sex with everyone.
Yes, and basically has sex with everyone. And so in the latest season, not the one that's on right now, but last season was called Archer Vice, and basically one of the characters gets addicted to cocaine.
Oh, that's perfect.
It's funny as hell.
It's awesome. And if you're...
Okay.
What are you doing with your lives, people?
Okay.
Talking about Untucked.
Okay, well, they're doing. All right.
Talk about Untucked first. We can talk about the other two after.
So basically the reason I say I want more, more, more is because I just love this version of Untucked. I'm so glad they broke them out of the boxes of the rooms and put them in this open stage environment. Like, okay, so let's talk briefly about the fact that now there's strategy on where you fucking sit.
Yes!
The Untucked... When Fame says, I'm not sitting on the couch. I'm going to sit back here when the rest of them come back. And I was like, oh. And I was like, oh, now we're all talking about staging and shit. Like, who's going to be where and what's going to
happen?
Yes. It's like prison.
And you
can adapt and overcome.
I Gary's about to spit his drink out. But I agree with you that I love this format. I love that it's semi-informal. Yes, yeah. it's technically still edited. Yes, it's, you know,
yeah.
It's not really scripted, quote unquote, but it's technically still edited. But it doesn't feel that way. It feels like we're watching from beginning to end, as it were, for the most part. You know, obviously there are some, you know, camera two, camera one kind of thing, but it feels natural. It feels great to me. I love that they've allowed them. They pretty much forced them to talk to each other.
Yeah.
They kind of force them to talk to each other.
Yeah.
Like there's none of this, like, girl, let's go to the gold bar and bitch about the queens that are in the other room. There's none of that shit. There's this, I'm right here in front of you. You have to talk to me right now. Mm-hmm. Or if you, you know.
Which did happen in this episode.
Oh, did it.
Like, I don't want to get into the details of it, like, because I think everybody should watch it. But Kennedy and Violet going at each other.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, this is popcorn. This is the popcorn moment where you're just like, I can't.
I'm just here for the comments.
Yes.
Yes.
As Damon says, I'm going to sip my tea.
That's true.
Watch this show.
Okay. I see you got yourself some truth tea over there.
Truth tea.
Oh, yeah.
So
I got front row seats. This is nice.
Exactly. So my thing I wanted to talk about was, why is everybody hating on Violet? Why is everybody hating her so much? Oh, I know why. I know exactly why. Because she is a bitch. Like, I'm saying it like it is. I don't think she gets this. I don't think you get this, Violet. I am talking directly to you. You do not get this. You are not the best drag queen in the world. Your shit stinks. Learn that. Because she, I forget what exactly she said in the Untucked, but some of the things that she was mentioning when they were in their little fight, tiff with Kennedy, I was sitting there going like, yeah, true. She said, like, I want you guys to do this, and she kind of knocked you down, but you are your own person. I totally understand and respect her, you know, rationale behind why they failed, because it is true. The reason they failed was because they maybe ran it once or twice instead. However, I got why Kennedy wanted them to do their lines on their own. No offense. Yeah. It's an individual competition.
It is an individual competition. I am 100% there with you, what you're saying, Damon. Kennedy led the team. Kennedy had a different style of leading than what I think Fame, Pearl, Trixie, all of them were kind of like, we don't understand what happened with the other group. And then when it starts coming out, I think they're all like, oh, interesting. And Violet was just like going for her.
Yeah.
Basically saying, because of you, we lost the challenge.
Yeah.
And Kennedy was like, hold up. Y'all are responsible for your own individual pieces. And my favorite part was when she says, well, it was a bad decision. And Kennedy goes, well, obviously. Like, She was like, hello, obviously I made a bad decision, because had I known that y'all needed to be handheld on the leadership side, I would have done that.
Yeah.
So I was glad. I thought she redeemed herself. I thought Kennedy absolutely redeemed herself as a leader to say, I led this way. It did not work.
Yeah, I agree.
And we don't get a second chance.
Yeah.
No. Nope.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting.
I
And wow. on that, I just do want to say one thing about the back and forth. And my favorite line in the Untucked comes from Ginger Minj when she says, "Violet, you want a spoon to stir?"
Yes.
I was like, okay. I'm like, she totally called her out and was like, you know what? You are stirring the pot, like your shit stirring, and that's not right.
I agree. Like that was the worst. That's the thing I hated most about her was, or dislike, I hate using the word hate, but anyway, is she kept going back. She kept jabbing at the thing. Kennedy knew she was wrong, and she kind of made a point to say that she wasn't right, but she was kind of defending herself. But you kept, Violet, you kept going back. You're kind of trying to go for the jugular, and you kept missing. So you kept trying to do it again, and nope, sorry. And then you're like, oh, let me try again. Nope, sorry. You know, it's just, you've got to, you're going to have to calm that shit down, because I know you're young, and I know you're pretty. And your outfit on the runway, I did personally like. Your bearded thing, I loved it. But that's only going to get you so far. Again, we've said this before. Beauty only goes so far.
Right, and to the outfit, to her look, to talk about the main stage challenge with the bearded beauties, I don't know, Damon, did you see my post on Facebook about the bearded beauties thing? It was before, I think, the show even aired. Someone was going off about how, it was before it aired. People who had not seen the preview didn't know that it was Bearded Beauties, and they were like, oh, Milk wears a beard last season, and she gets red for it, but this season it's in. And I was so irritated, and I basically called them out, and I was like, all right, y'all need to get some schooling before you start saying shit and commenting like that. It's for before Milk, there was many queens who wore beards, up to and including, oh, that's right, Matthew Anderson, who happens to be RuPaul's best friend, and the person that makes RuPaul, RuPaul. So don't give me shit about being beautiful with a beard, because Matthew's been doing that shit for years and is known for that photography and just had a fucking art show in LA this year for it. So y'all need to just like shut your hole and quit talking about how that's the thing.
The more you know.
I want to write truth on this cup.
The more you know.
Yeah, I was so irritated by how they were like reading about how, you know, Milk did it last season and she got red for it. And I was like, I think you're contextually taking it out and saying you're not paying attention to what happened in that episode and what was going on and everything. Because guess what? Yes, it was a challenge on the main stage and in Untucked. Most of them agree they fucking hate wearing beards. Like, they were uncomfortable. They didn't like the way it felt and all that. But then I did like that Fame was like, you know, my shit's falling off, and does someone have spirit gum? And so they worked as a team together. Yeah. They were good, like most queens are, I think, backstage, and they're like, you know, hey, let me help you with this or whatever. And so I think we got more of the Bianca mother role that everyone was in awe of last year. I think there's definitely two contingencies, but I think that's where the bitter brigade comes from, is those are the queens that have been doing this stuff for years, be it 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, however long. Or as Trixie said about Kasha, 86 years,
yes.
Which I thought was a funny dish line. I cracked my ass. The truth is, you've been around and you know that, like, you know, this girl just walked in. She got one outfit, one pair of hose on. It got a runner in it. You know what I mean? Like, you do things to just help each other out. It's a team. Yeah. It's a team effort, even though it's an individual performance.
It's a competition, but it is still entertainment.
Right, and I think, especially because it's season 7, these queens know this is make or break.
Yeah.
You will get more of a career out of this. Now, I got to look it up. Hang on a second. I sent myself a message.
Gary, this is Gary from the past.
This is Raven. Raven had a comment on Facebook, and I had to send it to myself, because I wanted to know, Damon, what you thought. So Raven says, you know that RuPaul's Drag Race will be casting soon for season 8. A little advice if you care to take it. Go for the crown. Not to raise your booking fee. You won't make it far with that attitude. How dare you take the spot of thousands of queens who do anything possible to win that title. I personally do not know what it is like to wear the crown. No, I did not win. I am sure this would sound better coming from someone who actually did, but I will tell you this. I fucking wanted it. Hmm. There are thousands of queens who audition each and every year, many who have been doing drag for quite some time. Not everyone is going to make it. If you do, make it count. Hashtag queen, please.
Dare I ask? And this is why Raven is still relevant.
See? Yes. Exactly why she's relevant. And I was so proud of Raven for saying that. She's known as being, for lack of a better reference, a cunt. She's a bitch about a lot of things.
Oh, no.
And I appreciated that she called it out. And this is the thing is, a lot of the previous season girls are not talking about the current season. And I think there's, I don't think there's a non-disclosure contract agreement, but I think there's a universal agreement that it is Rue's world and you play by the rules in the playground and you yes. don't fuck it up. And one way you don't fuck it up is bitch about the other contestants of a current season.
Mm.
I think Raven towed the line and basically called him out and was like, how dare you throw away an opportunity and shit on everybody by what you did, which we haven't gotten to that yet, but
Nope. We will
get there. But the thing is that I think the reason I wanted to jump to that is we were talking about how you behave and how you carry yourself and the way you do things. And I think there comes a point where people just don't have a tolerance for whatever you are and what you've got going on. Mm-hmm. And so I think Violet is in this weird spot, kind of like Sharon Needles was, where she gets recognition for her artistry, but at the same time, she's pissing people off. Yeah. Sharon ultimately was able to prove that she is a top-notch talent, knows her thing. She was just avant-garde for where we were in drag by the time the season came around.
Yes.
Now we're looking at Violet and everybody's just like, you're young and you're mouthy and you don't and you deliver at certain points, but you don't at others. And the rest of the queens are starting to write her off.
I think it's a lack of experience and immaturity. She's young. She's got a lot of growing to do.
I agree. I think I'm glad she made it on the show, and I hope that, and granted, we won't see her for a while. You know, once the show's over, we'll kind of know what she looks like now or how she is now. Right. But I hope she takes from the show whenever she got it, whenever she gets eliminated, hashtag, she didn't leave this challenge either. But she needs to realize that you're not the greatest. And you need to realize that I said in the first episode that we did this, that everyone came in on the same level when right. they all came in on the show. And now we're moving on. We'll see where people go. You are slowly, even though you may look good to the judges and whatnot, you are slowly making enemies among the rest of the cast to where if you suddenly need help or something goes wrong, it's going to be on you. It's not going to be on someone else. No one else, and no one's going to help you either.
Right.
And those are tricks you learn, things you need to learn in the real world and put into the real world.
Right.
Yeah. Interestingly, on the grid, the way they code it, she won, she was high, and now she's safe. So if her trend continues, she might be safe for another episode or two, and then she's going to end up low, and then she's going to be in the bottom two.
Everybody has
which is very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you're only going to get this pattern for a little bit.
Yeah,
your safe will end up being low.
Yeah,
bottom.
Yeah, and you'll probably fall out at a certain point. It's hard to say, I mean, and that's the interesting thing to me about tracking who ranks or files where.
To me, safe is a tarnishable status. It diminishes in its value the further we get along, the longer the season goes.
Right. No, I would agree with you. But I think that's where Damon and I talked maybe in last week's episode that eventually you'll get called out on safe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which Rue did it to Pearl this week and was like, you're coasting. You're sleeping. Like, yeah, I don't know what's going
on. It's almost like, hey, heads up. You're next.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and I think that will continue over time if people just do whatever. But like I said to Damon, I think as a beginning strategy, I don't have a problem with someone saying that they're safe. Like, I think Fame was the one that said, I'm being safe. And I was like, It's only the second episode. If it was the eighth episode, I'd be like, bro, you can't bank on safe, because safe means you don't win.
Yeah,
like, you might get to top three, but guess what? You ain't going to be second, and you ain't going to be first, because there's no reason to do that recognition.
Alrighty. Huh. So, anyone else's thoughts on Untucked? As we sort of veered off that path, as it were.
One little thing, and it was kind of already brought up, but Miss Fame's beard. Oh my god. The entire episode just...
Now, to be fair, though, since I saw Untucked several times, as I revealed before we started recording, not because I loved it, but it was something in the background and some other stuff. Interestingly, in the Untucked episode, she was powdering a lot.
Yes, she was.
And I think she was trying to keep the sweat and everything in check.
Getting,
So I thought that was interesting. I noticed that she was just... She was beating her face a lot during part of Untucked, and I think that was mostly about that she was breaking out in a sweat. And I think she is the most on point aware of how she looks, and that's part of her neuroses of behavior of her character, is that she wants to be a 10
all the time.
Right, all the time. So I was proud of the fact that she took that to heart, because it reminds you when you watch the show – They're there for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, and there's a reason they're talking about Jaden and her feet bleeding, you know, and that, because it's like you're in that get up from like 8 in the morning till 8 at night or some crazy shit, and you have to go out on stage yet again in front of cameras, and this helps pull back the curtain a little bit, I think, Damon, on previous episodes where you're watching the main stage and you're like, why is it when you go for the lip sync, you look haggard? Like, I mean, you haven't even done it. Bro, you look bad. I think it helps the audience understand more, like, you could have been in that outfit for 7-8 hours already, and there's a reason why you're falling apart.
And this ain't a live show. How many retakes did they do? Take after take after take after take to make sure that it was, a line was said right, or it's like when we see the added snippets and the words and the phrases that the judges say, that's not them saying it at that point.
Right. I mean, as I'm trying to remember which show, which video, I listened to something and one of the cast members revealed, I don't know if it was Michelle, but someone said, to pull back the curtain, they said, what you don't realize is that runway walk is done 3 times.
Right.
Rue does her entrance 3 times and everybody does their thing 3 times. And it's because they only have so many cameras, so they have to reposition a camera and then catch a different angle. Mm-hmm. And so it gives the judges more opportunities to come up with quips to talk about the outfit that you're wearing. So while we think the judges are just fucking hysterical and spot on, the truth is they've had 3 times to, like, think of what they're talking about.
Is that really what I think was going on with that dress? I don't know. Let's see it on the next take. Oh, yeah, that's horrible. Confirmation.
Yeah, like my favorite thing was Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
When they talked about Katya's outfit and look. Although she did get red on a different Raja and Raven's photo review. Yes, she did get red because it was a men's jacket.
Yeah.
And I agree. As soon as they pointed out, I was like, that's what was wrong. I couldn't figure out what was just off a little bit about it. And Raven said, just put a dart in it. Just snip it in, and maybe if it had the tux style collar, just a little bit of a polish, it probably would have done better,
It was a men's jacket. Yeah. I knew that right when it came on the stage. I was like, oh, that's nice, but your top doesn't look like your bottom, as it were. This looks like a man. That looks like a woman. Yeah, I love the beard, but
Speaking of, best voice clip ever, I swear, is from this episode when Michelle says that she hates a sloppy bottom.
Oh, yes.
I was like, oh, you know your gays, you know your audience, you know that they all just probably drank a shot in a bar while watching the show.
Oh, yeah.
Nailed one or whatever.
Sloppy bottom?
No, she did not. She did not nail a sloppy bottom. Well, we don't know that about her and her husband, so.
She doesn't like sloppy bottom.
Yeah. So let's move on to takeaways. What made an impression? Mine is really about the whole episode, is just simply mindset is critical.
Yeah.
The way you handle yourself is going to be the ripple effect of how things play out for you. So, and I guess I'll own it now because we've gotten this far without actually saying it. Spoiler, Jasmine went home.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then,
oh, burn.
Part of why I say mindset is critical is because when they said in Untucked, when Ginger says she already packed her stuff, what the
yes.
fuck?
Yes! Oh my God!
What the fuck? I lost it. Now, to be fair to Jasmine, at the very end of the episode, they showed stuff that you don't see because the producer, the guy there on set, says to her, you already packed all your stuff. What's with that?
Yeah.
And then Jasmine leads herself. I'm not saying I buy it 100%, but I get where she's coming from. Jasmine somehow got in her head that Rue was going to walk onto that set and say to her, girl, no offense.
Just leave.
You're going home. And you're not even going to get a chance to try to lip sync. You're going home. And I found that very interesting. But again, it goes back to mindset is critical. She got in her own head and was like, I sucked. I blew it. I did the worst. I'm going home. And she was confident in it. But then as we've seen in other seasons, right, Damon? Like, you get this thing. You're like, I'm going home. I'm going to lose. And sure as shit, guess what happens?
You're safe.
Yeah, you're safe or you win.
What I mean is you get this whole woe is me thing, and then guess what happens? Your runway isn't good. Well, you get called out. Your bottom two. Your lip sync isn't good because you got no fight in you.
Well, this is true.
And then
to motivate yourself.
Right, and then you sash it away.
Yeah.
Well, that's fair.
Well, no, just like Jaden when they did the play. She had that on stage, and then Max came over and was like, you got this.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up because Max, to me, had a Bianca moment in that she was the Gypsy Rose mother and said, like, look at me. Like, you've got, like, I loved Michelle's retort when she said, I'm not good at acting. And Michelle was like, you're a fucking drag queen. Of course you can act.
Yeah.
Like, Michelle, but I thought Michelle needed to slap her in the face with that comment and basically be like, you're not seeing yourself for reality.
Right.
You're having this weird, like, taking it too seriously thing.
Oh, yes.
And you need to realize, like, actually, you can't act. So after that, Max comes over immediately. Like, Max has got theater background. Max said, you've got this. Like, you just need a pep talk. You need to know that we're here for you, and it's a group, and we care about you. And yes, only one of us is going to take the fucking crown, but I'm going to at least allow you the opportunity to do that and not shoot you down and be like, oh, you fell down. Look at that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're not going to do – you're not going to get – a payback from the universe or God or whatever you believe in. I'm glad that she did that because I appreciated it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I'll talk about that specifically later. But I agree that the mindset is everything because if you feel you're going to fail, if you think you're going to fail, you're going to fail. Like, if you put that in your head that and I have a feeling that Jasmine – had that mindset earlier than the actual getting on the stage. I feel that she probably had that, like, theater's, because she said that in the Untouched. She said, theater's not my thing. And then she kind of went from there. Like, theater's not her thing. So then I get on stage, I fuck up royally. And now I'm like, okay, well, that's it. I don't even get, you know, in my head, I'm going, I don't even get to lip sync for my life. Rue's going to come in here and tell me I suck and I need to go home. Like, and if I, granted, I don't see that. I do kind of see that happening. I could see that happening. That would be a fun little twist on an episode. Girls come back and one's already gone and like, oh yeah. Yeah. We decided to cut her already. So here we go. New challenge. Let's go. But you know, but once you put that in your head, that's how you're going to present yourself out there. And I'm not saying, okay, I will defend her a little bit about the beard. I will defend her a little bit. So little tiny bit.
Catch up the audience if you haven't seen the show.
Seen the episode, everyone in the episode had on some kind of glued on beard, whether it was actual hair are like Pearl, for instance, had like this like weird looking, like it looked like paper mache kind of thing going on.
Yes.
Jasmine used makeup and put on like a black like beard kind of thing. on her, and I will defend it as a person of color who understands their skin. I know for me, spirit gum sucks, and glue on the skin sucks. It breaks you out, and I'm not going to her extreme where it would break her out and she would be like in the hospital. No. That's just a little. That was a little too much. Unless you have some allergy to glue, which if you do, own that and say that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. At least say that. Like, I have an allergy to adhesive or glue or some specific thing, so that I can go, okay, now I get why you don't want to put a beard on. But if it's just, you know, I'm afraid of it breaking out. Yeah, I can understand and respect that because it takes a while. Once it breaks out, and given where it was going to be, that's where, like, you can put your contours on your face and stuff like that, where that's just, and if it bumps up, it is hell to cover up. There's only so much makeup can do. So I will give her that little thread of credit for knowing her face and realizing that I'm not going to be able to do this, put on this, like, adhesive glue thing. I will admit to her that that's okay. But at the same time, own it more than you did.
Yeah. And for that note, Damon, I will say this. Do it better.
Yeah.
No offense, yeah. Makeup looked like shit.
Yeah.
You had no face until we got to the beard, and it did. It literally looked, as someone else described it, like she took a piece of charcoal and just rubbed it across her face.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like, I've seen drag kings do better makeup jobs for a fake beard than what you did. Well, yeah, I mean, you can do it with makeup alone. You can use eyeliner, you can use mascara, you could literally take a pencil, lip liner, you could make it look like individual hairs. You could have gone so much better. So, although I realized, I just have to say this, Damon, Kennedy and Jasmine's beards were bad, both of them.
Yes.
Jasmine's didn't look good for being painted on and looking like it was smudged. And Kennedy's literally looked like fucking pubic hair. I'm sorry. It did.
So bad. I think she was trying to go for that like thin, like little, like, you know, like the 5 o'clock shadowy kind of thing. And it kind of epically failed.
What we didn't know, because of FCC regulation, is she actually ran the buzzer through her computer.
Oh.
Bam! Done. I'm good.
Oh my god. The thing for me is, do you know who she reminded me of, honestly?
My crotch?
Prince.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Prince does not have good facial hair.
No.
At all.
No.
And I'm like, girl, you look like Prince. Prince is not pretty.
Patchy, yeah. Spotty. It just doesn't work. It's why I'm a bear and I would love to have the full beard like, you know, these gentlemen do have. It's not going to work. So you get the little goatee here and it looks really nice, but that's it. You get a nice little, yeah, because all this here, yeah, I get the little hairs. I get like three and it's like, oh, there you go. It looks worse than Kennedy's beard. I'm just gonna put it out there. No.
Yeah.
So what are your takeaways? We defend Jasmine. I hear you out. I grant you that yes, if there's a medical thing, you can use that. But even so, Michelle only slightly tempered her nonverbal on camera when Jasmine says, like, blah blah blah, you know, and she didn't say it there, but I think she said it on talk. I'm not going to go to the hospital and lose my $100,000 I'm going to win to have corrective surgery or have treatments or whatever. Mm-hmm. The only thing I wondered about that is, she's from San Diego and she's friends with a bunch of the girls that I know from the San Diego area from online and stuff. I wonder if one of the previous contestants had an issue, and that's really where this came from. She was like, fuck that noise. I'm not going anywhere near it. Do you know what I mean? Like, she does have a medical thing, but then she took a reality of someone else's life and superimposed it into her current moment and was like, I'm not even going to go near it.
If that's the case, then that sounds like there's something more going on with her inner dialogue, that she is really knocking herself down with lack of self-confidence.
But it's weird because it's the opposite. Like, the way she expressed it was, I'm so confident in myself, I don't need to put on a beard. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we're not buying it.
It's all show. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on in here. So I can tell you everything's fine, and it might not be fine.
Yeah. So my takeaway from this episode is strategy is everything.
Mm-hmm.
As mentioned before, Max. Kudos to Max, and I'll mention more about that. But she said in the Untucked thing, my strategy was to pick these queens. The way she did it, and it worked. Like, mm-hmm. and yeah, we're having a little cattiness with the strategy in the Untucked with how they sit, but it does make sense. You know, I'd rather be on the outside of whatever this shitstorm that's about to fight that's about to go down than in sitting in the middle of it. You know, I'd rather be on the sideline kind of sipping my tea and watching this go down than being like sitting there kind of thing, because you're going to kind of be forced because you're on camera to say something. And
right.
Like, Ginger. So it's just, it's strategy is everything. It is a competition, yes. And there can be, as we've seen, you can be a Bianca Del Rio and read people for filth, but still at the same time have that motherly sort of nice kind of vibe to you that people go realize and relate to and understand and want in their lives. I give Max kudos for what she did with Jaden more so than anything else, because that was just like, you know, it was not, yes, it was for Jaden, but it was also for the rest of the girls and for the challenge, because if Jaden falls, we're all going down with her.
Yeah. You know? Right. And I think she saw in that moment, I've got to do something about this. Like, I cannot let this turn into a train wreck.
Right. Yeah.
Which is funny, given what happened with the other team, and they didn't know what happened to the other team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it really goes to show a different way of handling leadership. She was like, oh, no, like, if I have to be the coach on the sidelines and, like, and talk you back up and pump you up to get back into the game, then so be it.
Right.
So, yeah.
And my other thing is, I'm sad for the arts education of these young kids. So sad. Like, Macbeth? I've never heard of Macbeth. Oh, Pearl, come on. Oh, my God. classic Shakespeare plays that should be in part of any school's education, even if it's just like a snippet, a little mention, even. I'm okay. It breaks my heart as the theater show girl that I am. It breaks my tiny little heart. It's just like...
Yeah. No, I hear you out, David, because... When that moment happened in the confessional, the camera, and she's and Pearl says, "What's it called?" And the producer says, "Macbeth." And I've never heard of it or anything.
Oh.
And I was like, "Okay." When I was in, what the hell grade were we in? I was in like seventh grade English. We went and saw a production of Romeo and Juliet at the Playhouse here in town. And like, because we were learning about Shakespeare and stuff, and it just happened to be on at the same time, so we went and we saw it. We had to get special permission. It was this big deal to go and, like, you know, get a waiver and have a chaperone who was the teacher and stuff. And one of the best things I'll never forget is they did the show, and of course they're all in tights, so all the girls are giggling because the boys have bulges. And hello, I'm noticing. And we're up in the balcony and we're watching, and of course I don't have fucking opera glasses, so I can't really see anything, but. We're watching, and when Romeo kills himself, when Juliet fakes the poison and dies first, and then Romeo shows up, the nurse discovers Juliet, and the nurse has this big dramatic, like, reaction. On the stage show that I saw, the nurse let out the most blood-curdling scream I have ever heard in my entire life, and it was like 20 seconds long. Like, it was this huge, high-pitched arc that just wailed and then eventually dropped off. All of us lost our shit, and we got the biggest scowls from the teacher because we were cracking the fuck up. We had never anything like it. And the teacher was like, I'll just give it a stank face, like, shut up, like, that's not funny or whatever. It really wasn't meant to be funny, but I'm sorry, we were like, what, 12, 13? I mean, like, we just thought it was the funniest thing we'd ever seen. But I got to see Romeo and Juliet on stage. Like, I had an understanding of it. So when Damon says, my heart is bleeding for the Magna Pearls, like, what? Like,
yeah.
I have not read Macbeth, I have not seen Macbeth, but I know enough to know, understand the concept, and that it's McBitch, and I could, you know.
Yeah, follow along. You know kind of what's going on. You get the general idea. And I felt the same way. It wasn't just Pearl. We're digging on Pearl, but Jaden kind of said the same, something similar. She didn't understand what was going on, and I'm just like, oh, my God. Like Romeo and Juliet, especially, is one of those ones I'm sitting there going, everybody should know that one play, because every, like, freaking love story has some basis in that story. You know, granted, it itself has a base story, but
yeah.
Any takeaways?
You guys,
you don't have to. I'm just asking.
No, I'm trying to think. No takeaways. I'm still firm that now it is the moment where it's going to become entertaining to see the divide. I'm just waiting.
Okay,
that's my takeaway. We'll feel like this is going to be it, and this is where we're either
going to grab your popcorn. Just
grab your popcorn, kids. It's going to be
here we go.
This roller coaster is setting sail.
What about you, Richie?
The only thing is, I think pretty much what we've been saying so far is, you know, how these queens aren't really educated. I think it's going to come up next season. Every season, it's always, you don't know how to sew. You don't know how to do this. You don't know how to do that. You don't know what this play is. Every season, something comes up, and it's like...
Well, that brings up an interesting point, because now in season 7, all the queens, except for the one, Candy Ho, who doesn't know how to sew, it's like a record scratch. And if they all could turn at once and look at the other one and be like... that's what sewing has done in the show. I've noticed that over the years. It's like in the first 2-3 seasons, you could get away with not knowing shit about that.
Yeah.
Now it's a prerequisite to get into college, basically. Like, if you're going to be on the show, like, you know how to sew. Like, not only can you paint your face and your body, but you know how to sew and you can do that. So I think that's interesting as a perspective that the education or your background is part of the game now.
Yeah.
What do you mean you don't know about, like, how do you not understand theater or whatever? Like, now, to be fair, I'm irritated with Ginger. I love Ginger, and I'm still in her wheelhouse, but it did irritate me when Rue says, when she explains Bearded Beauties, and she talks about the Shakespeare thing, and she explains where drag came from.
Yes.
I know this. It's in several gay movies, quoted, explained where drag came as an acronym and where it comes from, even though I think Rue technically quoted it wrong, but that's okay. No shade, just saying, like, yeah, it was funny to me how, like, that came about, and the camera's on Ginger's face, and she's like, what? And I'm like, girl, you're a theater girl, how could you not know this about the background, come on, like, that was the one thing where I was like, all right, if I was a judge, I'd deduct a point, because there's no way you could not know that. Like, sorry. No one at Hamburger Mary's in fucking Orlando, where you perform and I've seen you, would give you credit for not knowing that. It just, I'm like, you're old enough and you seem to know enough about the craft. I don't know how you just don't know that one thing. Like, that's where that came from. Anyways, I'll stop
about that. Yeah. But I agree with you, Rich. I think that it's going to come up. I think every queen, like, I will never do the show. And the main reason I will never do the show is, no offense, I ain't got time to learn how to sew. Love you, mean it, but no. And I don't. And I'm not going to, I understand how wonderful the show can be for a person's drag career. And once again, we'll get into that a little later. But you need to learn how to sew. You need to know how to sew. You need to have some kind of, not necessarily acting training, but learn some theater, learn some like timing, do some, you know, things like that. If you can be funny, great. Learn, do some improv classes for the love of God, because mm-hmm. that's one thing that will get you like snappy. Like if they get snap at you, you can snap back. Just, you know, do that and learn how to paint your face, learn how to be creative, because that's just one of the big things. And if you can't do that, don't even bother. To me, that's, and I agree with you, like there's going to be a thing like, nope, nope, don't, can't do that. Nope. Okay. Sorry. You can leave now.
And to be fair, David, we talked about when Sacha Bell went home, we brought up this concept of, we felt, Damon and I were pretty much on the same page, that local support falsely gives you this sense of who you are, that they're like, oh, you're great and blah, 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 and all that stuff. To be fair to Rue, though, every season is a good spectrum. It's a good continuum between the girl, what the hell are you thinking? I don't know how you got on here, too. How, why are you in this season? You should have been in season two. Like you're so polished now. How the hell did you not get on sooner? So
yeah,
I think the show consistently every year starts to show types. There's a Puerto Rican, there's a pretty girl, there's a hoochie mama, there's a whore, there's a potty mouth. I mean, you know, there's a comedian, like there's an avant-garde, like there are types that start revealing yeah. each season now, like all reality shows. But the reality, but the truth is, I think
archetypes.
Yeah, I think the archetypes are coming about, but the reality is, this is probably the new thing that's starting to appear, yeah. which is, how well versed are you? Are you a whole complete picture? But that's what I think the show is about. I don't. Yeah. There hasn't really been a time where I questioned who got to the end.
Yeah.
I don't ever think I watched a season and was like, "Are you fucking kidding me? How the hell did you end up there?"
Right.
Kind of except for season two.
Oh, shade. Okay. Somebody got an opinion about that, apparently.
Yeah. Anyway. Anyway. No. I won't say anymore. But there are some people that got in the top. There are people in that got in the top of season four, or season two, that I'm kind of like, no, you shouldn't have gotten there. But anyway, moving on.
Are we getting to the next segment?
Wake her away.
Yeah, let me grab my drink, because I still got some drink left. They're both dry, I think.
Oh no, I'm thirsty. I'm here for the comments.
All right, so it is time for snaps and eye rolls, otherwise known as hits and misses.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I have one very specific thing that I'm giving snaps to, and that's because I live for these moments on the show, if they ever happen, which they don't necessarily. I mentioned earlier, I think before the show to you guys, that Rue, I think, tries really hard to consistently like stay the middle of the road of the course and be like neutral in emotion. Mm-hmm. And there are times that she is not. And that is my snaps. RuPaul had a Tyra rant. She done gone off.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't seen the episode, just give a little listen.
Make it happen. I don't want to hear any goddamn excuses anymore.
Yeah.
And that's only a piece of it. It's longer, and I couldn't get the audio for it. I snagged that luckily, but I didn't get that much.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Specifically when that happened, she'd had enough out of, I think, Pearl and Jasmine and Kennedy, not so much Kennedy, but like it was like three or four in a row.
Violet, I think. Thing. Certainly.
Yeah, Violet. She was just like, nope. And she just snapped.
And I totally, totally agree. Like, no more goddamn excuses. No more excuses. This is season seven. Know your shit. No. Like, know it. Just like, come on. we're through with this. Like we mentioned before, I don't know how to sew.
Oh, fuck.
for the past like seven seasons or six seasons, the first challenge has always been something where you're making an outfit.
Right.
From top to bottom, meaning you're putting something together. Which means you need to sew something together. I mean, there's no like getting over that. And that has been every challenge, every season, from the Design on a Dime challenge in the first season to last season's like parties. And there was the other, but I forget the other one. But you know, it was you need to know how to sew. So like that's not an excuse anymore.
I'm telling you, I'm just waiting for the point that Rue snaps and has no more tolerance for anything at season 9. I don't know. And it's just like, the fuck you mean you don't know how to sew? What the hell? Now, to be fair, Rue don't know how to sew. It's not Rue's problem. Matthew is who creates RuPaul. So yes. I think that's why that may never happen. I agree with you. It would be funny as hell, and I would make that my ringtone. I had a better version of this, this would be my fucking ringtone, because she done gone off.
Yeah.
And my favorite moment of that was even Pearl, like Quaalude girl herself, as Carson Kressley said, like, oh, it's Shakespeare on lithium. Like even she, the camera caught the perfect moment where she kind of like jerked her head back about 3 inches, like, oh. And I was like, yes. She will go nasty. She will chew you up and spit your ass out. Don't fuck with her. Like, don't do
and
that.
And then
like,
go back to, yes. And then go back to, oh, and by the way, you know.
I will cut you.
I will cut you. I will get ghetto and whatever on you, but then I will get back. Don't worry.
But then I will call 911.
But I love you. And so I will hold you as you bleed out. Yeah.
Okay. So your eye roll?
Is I kind of talked about it already ahead of time. Pearl's lack of education about theater.
Everything.
And I already mentioned it, her eye roll. That,
yeah.
I'm so irritated about that. That it just, it's cemented for me, I don't like you. Now, change, I'm not going to stay that way forever probably, but in that moment, I was like, if I was on, like, and what, now the thing is, if I had a chance to talk to Carson and Michelle, I'd be like, all right, let's sit down, let's have a shot, and let's talk about this. Did you see that moment? I want to know if you saw it, and if you were not allowed to say shit, or if you said shit, and it didn't make the cut, because I just can't believe that that was allowed. Like no response, nobody utters a word about your indifference, like, I just got criticism, and I don't give a shit.
Right.
It's like, no, you're not worthy of not giving a shit.
Right.
You know, like, and that's the other thing that's weird to me is, like, Kasha, especially, and Max, and Trixie, they all, and Ginger, seem to really, truly understand, this is critique, I take it in, whether I like it or not, and yeah. Then I go forward, whether I do something with it or not. Like Michelle, you know, complimented Candy Ho. She said, oh, I see you changed your face. Yes. Bravo. Like,
yes. Yeah.
Like, and so that, and I admit she did look a little better. Trixie notably turned down the clown makeup.
Yes.
And she, I know you probably disagree, but.
No. She turned it down a little bit. It's funny how you can put a full beard on a bitch and it kind of like, oh, now I'll tone myself down.
Shit, who knew it? All it took was a beard. Yeah, well, I mean, and I will admit, I didn't think she turned it down enough for her to comment, to fish for the compliment backwards about how she turned it down. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought that was a very awkward moment, and then the editors, this part annoyed me. If you listen when you watch the show, they put these little stingers. So there's these like little chimes or like lasers or whatever, like these little sound effects. And when she said that, she said about how she, you know, painted down and blah, 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 and she's, this is the most beautiful I've ever looked. They put an audio zinger right at the end, like people are supposed to take away a what? Like, I was like, that's rude. Like, you know, she's basically saying,
I made an effort to prove I'm not always a clown, blah, 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 blah.
What we didn't know is under the beer, there were actually puppet lines by the mountain.
Oh.
Listen, oh, girl.
So, my eye rolls are for Pearl's lack of education in the eye roll that she gave that the camera caught. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. So I give snaps to Max. And just because once she was a great team leader in the sense that she not only motivated her team, like Jaden, the thing like that, not only did that, but she put people in the spaces that she knew that they could do. She didn't go out for the cut. She never, you know, it wasn't meant to be like, let's do something weird and off the wall. It was, I know you can do this, so let me put you in this. And I chose these people because I wanted to win. You know, good strategy, good that. And also, where's my thing? Supportive but still killing it is what I said. Because her look on the bearded challenge, loved it. Yes. It was kooky without being crazy. It was also it felt like it went with the challenge, with the Shakespeare. It went really well with that. It kind of complimented that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she definitely deserved the win. Mm-hmm. I loved her runway. Like it was spot on. It was perfect to what it needed to be. I loved that she went this whole like Salvador Dali like kind of artistic take on it. And I don't know, like I absolutely loved that she did it. Notably, she was safe for 2 weeks, and then mm-hmm. she pulled it out and won.
Yeah.
I thought it was well executed.
And this was the challenge for her to pull it out because she said, I believe she's one of the queens that has that theatrical background. So it made sense for me to go, you know, if I'm going to win a challenge, this is the challenge I know I'm going to win because I can do all this shit and I know what I'm doing.
Right.
So,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to go into my eye roll, but you can go ahead.
No, all I was going to say is, talking about the safe thing, I'm looking at the grid, and the interesting thing is, I slightly disagree with this. Jaden Dior and Trixie Mattel are both listed as high instead of safe, and that's because they were on the winning team.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with that. I understand why the grid is written the way it is by the people who do it on the Wikipedia page, but I disagree. I think they were safe. I don't think that they stood out that great in the bearded challenge. They got lucky that they were on a winning team, so they didn't have to be told they were safe.
Well, I think that it's because everyone who is on the team is listed as high, and I'm okay with that. I agree with you in the sense that some of the girls were better or worse than the others, but I get for the grid why they're all listed as high.
I understand it. I guess I'm voicing my opinion to nobody who cares. That I would reword that. I would change it, you know, to somehow signify that they won on the team challenge as a group, but I don't know. They didn't use the word safe because Rue didn't say you're safe.
Right.
However, I'm saying you're safe.
Yeah.
I don't think you did anything spectacular.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Like I like Trixie's better, but didn't blow me away.
Yeah. So my eye roll is for all of Team Kennedy and the McBitch performance. Like all of it. It was terrible from beginning to whenever it ended. It was terrible when they edited it because they had so little to go from that was presentable. And it showed to me, like what you said, the six P's, where if they had done things better, it would have gone better, plain and simple. Like everyone could have stepped their game up and it would have gone better. Or, you know, just let those people that know not what to do, help them. Like, Kennedy, sorry, girl, I got what you said, and I respect what you said, but that was bullshit. I'm kind of calling a little bit of bullshit because it's a team. I get what Violet said. It was a team challenge because it was a team challenge. And yes, you should have probably ran through it a couple of times as a team, but like that, it showed quite how terrible your choices were, your judgment call was as a team leader was. It showed on every conceivable level. There was bad timing. There was missed lines. There were people who forgot what they were going to say. There was terrible, terrible acting. And that just all culminated in this car crash of an epic fail to me. It just, and I, you should, you all should have known better. Like every single one of you should have known better. So eye rolls to you.
And with that said, did you guys have anything you wanted to say in regards to?
Nothing to add. Nothing we haven't already said.
Agreed. So, in our closing thoughts, final impressions. Just two words. Bye, Felicia.
Don't you mean bye, Jasmine?
Well, yes. Bye, Jasmine. And the reason why is to hear that you already packed, to find out, to have you say on camera, you just want to go back and home with your family and your nephew.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was done. I was done, D-O-N-E.
Yep.
And that's why I read what Raven posted, because I think that's what Raven responded to. It basically was like, bitch, if Rue had asked me to come back Shangela style, I would have.
Yes.
I would have, and I would have mopped the floor with these queens and fucking taken the crown. Like, I just would have gone for it.
Crown it.
And that, right, and that's the thing that really irritated me about this episode is I don't think Jasmine realizes what she did to her own reputation.
Yes.
Yeah. No offense, girl. You're the Sarah Palin of the drag world right now.
Oh. Ooh.
You quit and you walked away.
Yep.
God. Go ahead.
I think it's a shame. I think it's a damn shame. I mean, I get it. Okay, she said it. You know, I packed because I was in this headspace. That's not a good excuse. You're here to win the crown, not to give it 80% and then decide to drop out when things are looking tough. It's a goddamn challenge. It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
I don't know at what point we thought this was going to be easy.
Yeah.
I don't know at what point we thought that we're just going to give it and still make it. You got to give more than 100%. This is the kind of thing that you have to give 120% because the competitions are always changing. And season 7 is a good example of what we thought we were going to get. Surprise, no, we're changing things. The catwalk, for example, yeah, you know,
right.
That was something new that was incorporated. You can't go in there thinking that, A, you know what the hell you're doing, and you think you know this, you know, how things are going to play out from A to Z. You're going to be surprised. So you always got to be on your A game. And when I just, I couldn't believe hearing that, well, I was already done, so I packed my shit up, and I already gave up. And, you know, the whole rumor that she was going to, you know, stand there and not dance.
And not do anything.
And not do it, or not lip sync for her life against Kennedy. Bullshit.
When Kasha said that, my jaw literally dropped. When Kasha says, now, Jasmine told me, if she goes up against Kennedy in the lip sync, she's not even going to move her mouth. She's just going to stand there. And I was like, and then Max says, she can't do that. And I'm sitting here going, all right, now, why is Max saying that? Is Max saying that because she thinks it's unbelievable that she would just stand there? Or does Max know that it's somewhere maybe in the contract?
You can't do that.
You'll actually be fined by WoW Productions or something. Like they'll literally come after you and sue you for not performing. I don't know. I don't know if that exists. I think it's a bit extreme. But it killed me that was revealed. And I was like, and then what we saw was She moved her mouth. Now, to be fair, okay, I'm going to say two things about Jasmine's lip sync. To be fair, two things. One, all the hype about the gown, it was almost worth it.
Yeah.
I was a little irritated by the whole, Rue's going to love this gown, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, I hope she doesn't compliment you. Because I'm irritated that you're fishing for a compliment out of her. Then Rue does compliment it, and I was like, oh, all right. Mm. Yes, it's a shoulderless, like to the floor, fully beaded gown. I get it. It's gorgeous. It weighs 100 pounds. I get all that. I'll grant you that much. However, I will give Jasmine props in the lip sync. Girl can move in a 100-pound gown.
Yes. Yeah.
Spinning in spot, squatting, and doing these like almost jumping jacks while dancing and lip syncing. I was like, that is not just standing there.
No, it wasn't.
I was sitting on a dildo. That is not a dance.
This is not competing. You're doing the same goddamn thing repetitively.
Yeah,
not appropriate. I'm not impressed.
David? Yes. Like, I can't even like put this in words. Like,
it's just bad.
Like, fuck you, Jasmine Masters.
Because, what is that even said?
Because like,
go ahead, David. I can cut you off.
Like, my biggest thing was like, you said my goal was to get on RuPaul's Drag Race.
And then what? Quit.
Apparently, that was the goal. So I agree with. If Raven was speaking specifically to her or not, I'm gonna be the PC person and go, you know, whatever. I know she was, but but like, if you're gonna beat out all these queens that are fighting for this year after year after year, and you make it on this show, be ready to play to win. You're not playing to get on the show. It was like, what was her name with the terrible nose last year? Magnolia Crawford.
Yes, Magnolia.
Yes.
Magnolia Crawford. Magnolia Crawford. Who literally got on the show so that she could boost up her image and fame. Well, we know where you are now, Ms. Magnolia Crawford. Oh, I don't see you anywhere. Just saying. And it's just one of those things where, like, don't get on this show so that you think, like Raven said, don't get on the show because you think it'll help your bookings and help you get paid more in bookings and do like that. No, you get on this show to be America's Next Drag Superstar.
Yes.
You get on the show for the crown. You get on the show to win. Don't. I'll do it to you know, get the experience. No, you don't need this experience. No, this isn't Survivor. This isn't Big Brother. You know, this is
legit. This is It's legit. This is real.
Yeah, this is something that is out there for a reason, and it's an entertainment platform, and it's meant to catapult you to even bigger and better things. Cool. Yes, if you're, you know, like I think we were talking about earlier, if you're like one of the top six queens, you're probably going to get notarized and noted for, you know, doing things and get out there and get your name out there. And people are going to know who you are, recognize you. If you're one of the first six, no one's going to really remember you. Can you name any of the queens that left seasons the first couple of episodes last year before that? I can name one because she's here in Cincinnati, but actually two because they're both here. But, you know, I could name a few more. But it's one of those things where, yes, it does catapult you and get you fame. But realize why you're doing this. You're doing this to win. If you're not doing it for any other reason other than that, then you do not need to be on this show.
You need to be willing to pay in blood, sweat, and tears at 150% to 200%. You can't just half-ass stuff.
No.
You brought up an excellent point, and it just occurred to me why I think Jasmine is pissed off so many of us. Mel B says on stage, what is this it was a bad day business. Haven't we all had a bad day? Haven't we all rose to the occasion? When she called that out, I was like, ooh, damn.
Yeah.
She basically tased every one of them fuckers in the nuts. It was like, I ain't got time to listen to you talk about it. And she has a right to say that because Lord knows from the Spice Girl days to where she is now,
right.
She's been through a whole bunch of shit, and she's like, listen, bitches, yeah. This is the fire. You either walk through or walk away. And guess who walked away?
Yeah.
So right, and that's the part that I realized is when you said blood, sweat, and tears is, if you want it bad enough, you will do anything to get it. And I give props to Jasmine for knowing when to say when.
That's fine.
But you didn't do yourself a service in the bigger scheme because I think a lot of queens are now hating your ass because they didn't get the opportunity that you had. And then
that's fine. Give up and give up in your head. Don't give up and then gallivant it for everybody to see. Don't announce that you packed up early, that woe is me, look at me. Fail, but at least attempt to give it your all and fail.
Well, I think that's interesting because then my question is, what if she had done it differently? What if after this is all said and done, Jasmine reveals she already quit in her own head and knew she was going home? Would we feel differently about her because we thought she gave it her all, as opposed to us complaining about her not giving it all?
Yes.
I think that's very interesting, like to think about it in terms of, had she revealed after the fact, I realized I quit, my mind was not in the game, I already left, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Would we give her more cred and be like, would we be so vitriolic and hating on her and saying after the fact, how dare you give up on the game, like we are now? And I think the answer is no, because she told us to camera and said to other people, like, I'm checking out, I'm not going to be here, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
And that's why everybody was like,
that's
oh, hell no.
Where the mindset is at is, I know what is portrayed. I will admit that, yes, we understand that editing is a big deal, and maybe there were four or five words you said before that wasn't put in for whatever reason. You said what you said, and it was broadcasted, and we took that in. And we saw that. If you didn't mean to say that, then don't say those words.
Right?
It goes to that same concept. I don't care where the mindset is.
Yeah.
Word it better. I'm giving it my all and I didn't make it and I wish I could have done better. You know, if that's really what or if you didn't want to continue, then just keep your mouth shut. I came, I did my thing, I didn't make it. Move on to the next. But don't spectate your failure for everybody and say, now feel sorry for. I gave up, and I was having a bad day, and I was just waiting for Rue to come in and kick me out. Bullshit.
Yeah.
That is an excuse.
I think Ginger had an interesting perspective when she said it's excuses. She's trying to make herself look good for when she goes home.
Yes.
I thought that was incredibly shady. I thought it was – but I don't – disagree with it, but I thought that took balls to call it out and say, because as soon as she said it, I felt everybody else in the Untucked at the moment was right behind her in line agree. Once it was said, there was no debate about what was said. And it was funny that it was like she was the defogger in the room and just kind of cleared it out for everybody and was like, no, the reality is she's trying to make herself look good for going home. She's trying to get some street cred back with her local team or whatever it is. And I was like, wow. Like, that's... If that's really true, that's even shittier than anything. Like, it's bad enough you did what you did, but then, like, you know, to handle it or whatever you're doing. So
how many queens have come and gone? And none of that has ever been as memorable as this.
So, all right, I'll call it. The reunion show... what we're talking about now will probably come up.
Oh, yes.
It will be a discussion. Rue will have a one-on-one with her, and she will talk about this exact thing.
Oh, yeah.
Then it gets revealed that she packed her stuff up and whatever. And what's worse about it is it's like an STD. It just keeps getting spread around, and it keeps getting more attention and more focus because now...
it's a big deal.
Right.
It's
now, a media deal. Rue's going to have to be probably... not, I don't want to say pressured, but there will be a discussion with the producers and directors, and they'll be like,
"This is a hot
when
topic.
We do the reunion show on the stage, you're going to have to ask Jasmine about her comments and the fact that she packed up early and try to yet again, in a public court of opinion, defend yourself on what you did.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know if we need to do that, because everyone already hates your ass. If you want us to hate you again,
When the producer or who that was asking, why did you pack your bags?
Yeah.
When staff asks you that, it's a big deal because they clearly didn't know.
Well, she broke the rules. Her shit was already packed, and when they went back, if you pay attention, when they go to record the workroom post segment, when you're by yourself and you do the confessional to camera and you're grabbing the cap, you're right on the mirror, that whole thing is produced, and when you go back there, you wait until they tell you to walk through the door. Yes. Jasmine did not wait. If you pay attention, the director makes a comment about, guess we're not doing that, or something like that. It's hard to hear, but I was like, oh, shit. Like, she was like, I'm done. Right, I'm done. I'm leaving. My shit's...
Let me get out of this 100-pound dress and get this wig off and my hair and get all this shit off so I can pack my already packed bags and get the fuck out of here.
That's it.
Now, the interesting thing is if you haven't seen on WoW Presents on YouTube, there's a show that Michelle Visage does with each of the queens that started last season called Whatcha Packin'. And the interesting thing about the Whatcha Packin' with Jasmine is you don't get to see anything. When Michelle shows up, everything is still packed, and Jasmine refuses to open any of the luggage. And she talks about it. I'm not going to give it away, but it was very interesting. Mm. Michelle says to her, the show is called Whatcha Packin', and you didn't unpack anything. Like, you normally, the queens are very happy to show the outfits you didn't get to see and to talk about what they were going to do on Snatch Game and what they were going to wear. There's a little bit of talk, but there's no showing, Jasmine. And I was like, damn, like, you are just digging. Like, just can't help yourself. I thought that was
really
interesting.
We're going to have to see how that goes. I'm concerned. I want to see that now. Good thing
I've
got...
We're almost done. So, Damon, what is your closing thoughts?
My closing thoughts is to emphasize what Rue said. No more goddamn excuses.
No more.
Not just with what happened on the show, but in general. Like, the whole, like we talked about earlier with the sewing thing, like, bitch, you better know how to sew if you're going to get on this show. If you want to be on this show, be on this show. No more excuses. Oh, it was a bad day. Oh, I don't know how to sew. Oh, my makeup was broken. You know, whatever. Whatever the fuck ever. I'm just over it. I'm over it. In this season, I think I'm officially over that kind of thing.
Right.
You've had six seasons to know how this game works.
Right. I agree with you. I don't want to disagree with you. The thing I'm going to say is I think you get more applause and fan dedication if you prove you try.
Yes.
So I'm thinking, like, if you got sick, like something you ate, and you end up getting sick on stage or whatever, not the Willem thing, but, you know.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, you've got Montezuma's Revenge, and the camera is outside the bathroom, and they're hearing you hork it up or whatever, and you still go back to the workroom, and you still paint your face, and you still get out there, and even if you look like you need to be hospitalized, everyone's in the palm of your hands. The audience will support you because you try.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think, Damon, what you're saying is that's where the excuses thing come in. Is like, I think we will go to bat and defend those that try on their deathbed to win, as opposed to those that are like, I'm out.
I'm just here to skim the surface.
I'm going to make this comment. Willem bothered me, and I could never figure it out until this discussion now. I think it's because Willem wanted another thing on his resume.
Hmm.
I think Willem was not there to win. I think Willem was there to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, I like Willem. I think Willem's talented, very talented. But it just occurred to me why I think I had a problem in that season was Willem was always like, this is one more thing on my Hollywood career or whatever. And I'm like, why people weren't in your corner when you got sick. And that's why all the rumors spread around that you were pregnant, which is impossible. And that one made me laugh.
But yeah,
that one made me laugh. I was like, she can't be pregnant, she's a boy.
I agree that it's to me, I agree with you. Like the whole, you know, at least you tried. Yeah, I agree. And I say that if you're going to make an excuse, then back it up with putting your all out there and doing the best that you can. Like, yeah, if you're sick or if you've, like, oh, this dress, I'm, you know, just broke, the zipper broke. Okay, well, I'll have to do something. Let me put some duct tape on it and get it to work and get on stage and do that. Well, you know, at least you tried. Yeah, it sucks, but I will own that I would respect you. You will earn my respect for at least taking that moment and doing it. Jasmine, and I hate to keep digging on her, Jasmine, you gave up. You defeated yourself. And in giving up, you lost my respect.
Yes.
And the worst, like they said, the worst thing, like you said, the worst thing that pissed me off and I was over with it was when they said her bags were packed. When they said her bags were packed, I was like, okay, well then, done.
Yeah.
Why don't you just not even go on the main stage and just roll your ass out the door? Just because.
That's it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because you wanted the compliment from Rue about your gown.
Boom.
And an opportunity to stand there next to your
the one you fangirled over on the first episode.
Roll yeah, true. Kennedy Davenport.
Which, to be fair, Kennedy did good. Yeah, I thought she lip-synced well.
She did.
Yeah. Even if she looked like she got pubic hair stuck on her upper lip, she lip-synced well.
She got it all up on the mic and was like all into it. She's like,
but yeah. So yeah, it's that's my takeaway and my final thought is no more goddamn excuses. And I'm seeing the girls. I'm starting to see the girls that are here to win. I'm starting to see the girls that won't make it. We're getting to that kind of point now. Even though we're early in the episodes, I'm starting to see that, like, there's the division. I could see that potentially happening, and I can also see the girls that are going to start clawing their way to the top, slowly but surely, or winning challenges and being consistent and doing your best and giving your all. I'm starting to see that a little bit each episode.
I agree. I think we're on the cusp of the drama, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Entertainment. Like, if people think it's been a sleeper of a season so far, we might be on the edge of it getting pretty spicy with the haves and the have-nots. Those that have the hunger and will, you know, go all Hunger Games to get the crown, and those that won't.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts?
Yeah. The next time you make me this, you can be more generous with the one.
Well, considering it was only Coke.
Bullshit.
Oh, funny how your tune changes from the beginning of the podcast until now.
I just need more alcohol to loosen up and not like that.
Well,
you need more alcohol to loosen up?
Well, yeah.
Really? Really?
that or a ginger.
Oh, and snap. Okay.
Ah,
but don't bomb. Okay.
Those be your thoughts on the episode.
Well, okay.
Not on your drink, because you're an alcoholic.
I had nothing. I made something. Look, alchemy. No, that's not how that works. Anyways, nice. No, nothing. No, nothing else that wasn't already said. I have said my piece.
Rich.
I think after the, because I only remember one other time someone actually kind of just gave up. And even then, it wasn't really giving up. It was Yara Sofia, when she had the breakdown during her lip sync.
Mm-hmm.
She got in her head and just gave up during the lip sync.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't anywhere near the level that Jasmine's been.
She still at least tried.
Yeah, she did, but then she had the breakdown.
Yeah.
But Jasmine just flat out gave up. And I think I don't know if Rue saw that during, like, the runway lip sync, and if she did, it's going to be, she's not going to deal with that from anyone else, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's too many people who try out for this show, and gladly would have taken her place to
try.
And especially with the, you know, no more goddamn excuses.
Right.
Tyra rants, she's not going to be taking anything from anyone from now on.
Yeah.
And I think some of them are going to need that tough love.
I'm glad that it came in at episode 3.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because if 13 episodes or 12 episodes, we're just on the verge of a quarter of the way through, and I'm like, ooh, then it's going to get good. Because if she done lost it in episode 3,
yes.
I can't wait for episode 6 or 9. Because by then, they all better up their game or it's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it will be Hunger Games. And she'll be like, you, and you, bye.
Bye.
And she'll eliminate groups of people and say, to hell with you, ain't got time.
Well, was it last season or season before where they kicked two queens off at once?
There was a season.
No, it was the Roxy Andrews season.
I was done it twice.
It was 5. And it was in season 5. Because it was just one of those things where, like, nope, you're not doing the best you can. Get out.
But see what's happening? We're talking about the memorable moments. And I don't, and so now I feel bad because Jasmine's on the bad side of a memorable moment,
mm-hmm.
where like her and Kennedy, no one's really going to talk about her and Kennedy's lip sync. Mm-hmm. They're just going to talk about the fact that she gave up before the lip sync, and not about how the actual lip sync went. And I think about like one of the best lip syncs ever. I still think to this day that really moves me emotionally is Jujubee and Raven.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those two were like so upset that they had to compete against each other, that it showed on stage, and they refused to compete against each other. They sang it like a duet, and in the end, it had the effect it was supposed to. And I was glad Rue said, you both stay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, that's how it's done. That is the bomb. That is the shit. And that's the way it should be. And that's the thing about Kennedy and Jasmine that did not happen. It's like, if you two are sisters and you two care about each other that much, you should have been crafty enough to try that stunt.
Yeah.
And everyone would have called you out for doing it because it's already been done. But guess what? You already done checked out. So you already left the building. Yes. Mm-hmm. And we all saw it. And
there was opportunity and it was not taken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, I think it'll be very interesting to see how it from there.
Mm-hmm. We shall see what happens, girls.
I'm well,
gonna your,
what's that?
I'm gonna raid your liquor cabinet.
Yeah. Well, wait till we're done recording, and then you can raid the liquor cabinets. So, why don't we wrap up? So that's the end of the show. Basically, there are plenty of ways to get in touch with us, follow us, all that kind of stuff. First of all, obviously, we have a website. It's cubsoutloud.com. You can go there, check it out. You can listen to the podcast directly through that show website, or you can use any basic downloading service to listen to the podcast. You can also obviously go to our YouTube channel and watch us there. We're live right now. Supposedly we have one viewer. I don't know who that is. Hi. you can go back and watch these video shows after the fact. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email. It's very simple. It's cubsoutloud@gmail.com. We also obviously have a Facebook page, which we've made reference to. It's facebook.com/cubsoutloud, all one word. We also have a Twitter account, real simple. Twitter. I said simple and then I fucked it up. Twitter.com/cubsoutloud. We have a Google Plus page. It's google.com/plus cubsoutloud for that. Then on Bear Underground, the official Bear website of the Cubs Out Loud podcast, we have a group on there. You can join the COL group, become part of the entourage, and say hello. Leave us a comment. On iTunes, you can rate us. And we haven't had a comment on there in quite some time, so I'm sure Jeffrey would love to read whatever your comment is, good, bad, and different. Stitcher Radio, you can give us a thumbs up, and you can comment. And if you listened – oh, wait, it hasn't aired yet. When you listen to the episode – finally figured out how to read a comment off Stitcher. Yeah. All that said, my name's Gary. I go by GearBear73 on the web, Bear411, Bear Underground, Tumblr, HeftyNet, whatever. You'll find me someplace on that.
Mm-hmm. And I am TheaterCub79 on Bear411, Bear Underground, Tumblr, and HeftyNet as well.
You can find me, EMS Cub, on HeftyNet and on Tumblr. That's EMS Cub, all one word.
Aren't you fancy?
Yes, I did that.
And I'm RichieBO7 on pretty much everything.
And so that's RichieE, the letter B,
07.
In case people can't catch that. And that is pretty much it. Woo! Say bye, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Drag Race, Monday nights on Logo. See you next Tuesday.